You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On Rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy NBA trade deadline day. Recording this post-game Wednesday. This is the post-game pod from Wednesday's ugly loss to the Dallas Mavericks. So it's both a post-game pod and an NBA trade deadline day podcast. Although I don't have much new information as of late Wednesday related to the Timberwolves, just a couple of quick notes I'll hit first, because that's what, by the time you're listening to this, that's what everyone's talking about. Nobody wants to talk about Wolves Mavs. I shouldn't say nobody, because I'm about to, but nobody wants to spend too much time talking about the Wolves Mavs game on Wednesday when it's NBA trade deadline day. So I'll hit the trade deadline stuff first. And then if anything happens Wolves related on Thursday, I'll do an emergency podcast, get it up as soon as I can, close to the trade deadline, talk about any moves that the Wolves do make if anything does go down. So stay tuned throughout the day Thursday, just in case anything happens. We'll definitely get an extra podcast up on Thursday. So we'll hit some trade notes here off the top. Then I'll talk briefly about Wolves Mavs in terms of game flow, how the game went, and then key takeaways, which we'll spend most of our time today on from the game, and then also individual studs and duds as we always do. A quick reminder here off the top, you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. That includes iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves or at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, let's talk trade deadline first. Since I recorded Wednesday's show, which was early Wednesday, there hasn't really been much else out there Timberwolves related. There was a continuation. John Krasinski at The Athletic has kind of a running trade log ongoing. I think he calls it his trade deadline tracker. So he's just kind of updating things as they happen, if anything happens. Not much has happened, frankly. A couple notes in there. He seconded the report that came from Bleacher Report a couple of weeks ago that stated that the Wolves had been making significant progress on a potential Aaron Gordon deal prior to the All-Star break, and that they were close to a trade. Presumably, Ricky Rubio was involved until Gordon sprained his ankle and ended up missing several games prior to the All-Star break, The trade apparently fell apart at that point, and the Wolves just continue to lose. D'Angelo Russell got hurt around that time, and a trade just seems less feasible at this point, or less necessary for the Timberwolves, I guess, is maybe a better way to put it. So Krasinski underscores that Bleacher Report story, says it did happen. He also mentioned that the Wolves, and we haven't talked about this on the show, but the Wolves have interest in Norman Powell. And of course, the Raptors are the talk of the NBA world right now, because Kyle Lowry is very likely to get traded. And by the time you listen to this, maybe he has been traded. But all signs are pointing to that. Norman Powell can become a free agent. He can opt out this year and will likely get solid money given his age and his breakout season, shooting the ball, shooting over 40% from three. He's somebody who would actually fit the Wolves well, and they've shown interest in him, but obviously he could also walk this offseason. So you're trading for him to get his bird rights, basically. And, you know, unless Malik Beasley is involved in the trade, I don't see what the best, you know, what, I mean, Powell would still fit the team, but based on salary and position, I don't know that it makes much sense for the Wolves to pony up for him. And as Krasinski notes in his article, the two teams just couldn't come to an agreement and haven't, and I think that's pretty unlikely. One note from ESPN did a trade special on Tuesday afternoon with Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski, and the only Timberwolves mentioned the entire time was related to Aaron Gordon, who I want to talk more about here in a second. And Zach Lowe, I think the words Zach Lowe used were that the Magic would love to get their hands on Jaden McDaniels in any Aaron Gordon trade with the Timberwolves. I think that's pretty much a non-starter. I said the other day on the show, I think the Wolves should be open to trading Jaden McDaniels. They should not be open to trading him for Aaron Gordon. Jaden McDaniels is a 20-year-old with, you know, three more years of team control on his rookie deal after this year. Aaron Gordon's a 25-year-old, an old 25-year-old, if you will, in terms of miles on his legs and on his knees. And he's got one more year on his deal. And trading Jaden McDaniels for Aaron Gordon doesn't make any sense. And I don't think the Wolves would do that. And that's why it hasn't happened. But notable that he's the player that Lowe mentions that the Magic do have a lot of interest in. So those were kind of the rumors that were out there. There's been a couple other reporters that have underscored the Wolves' interest in Gordon, which at this point, like, I mean, we've been talking about this for like 14 months now, so not really surprising. But Mark Stein, formerly of ESPN, now of the New York Times, tweeted out that the Wolves, let me get the actual tweet here. He said the Timberwolves are still in the mix for Aaron Gordon along with Boston and Denver. Minnesota had, quote, serious trade talks in late January for Gordon before the bad ankle sprain sidelined him. So that's, again, the Bleacher Report first, John Krasinski next, and now Mark Stein kind of chiming in. We know these things. And then the final Wolves note was again from Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report, reiterating the Wolves' interest in Aaron Gordon, but that the Nuggets may be the front runners if the Magic trade him at all. And we found out on Monday, I think it was, that Gordon had previously requested a trade, now was kind of getting cold feet on that, wanted to stay in Orlando potentially. It seems pretty likely he's traded, but I really don't think it's the Wolves, and I don't think it should be, because unless they're able to move on from Jarrett Culver and attach a second rounder or something like that to get Aaron Gordon, it just doesn't make sense to trade any real assets for a guy who could walk in a year and is probably a pretty good fit defensively, but doesn't improve your floor spacing, which is a major issue for the Timberwolves. And we saw that again against the Mavericks on Wednesday. We'll talk about that here in a minute. I just don't think it's worth giving up real assets for a guy like Aaron Gordon at this stage. And the John Collins thing pretty much appears to be over. The Hawks are now apparently very comfortable keeping him. Surprises me a little bit. Obviously, they're likely to be a playoff team in the East, and so sure, see what you can do this year, see what happens in the offseason, but he's probably not coming back to Atlanta, and so that could end up being a mistake that they didn't trade him. It sounds like they were asking for, you know, Jaylen Brown from the Celtics and Malik Beasley and picks from the Wolves and all this stuff, so they were probably going about this the right way, trying to create a seller's market for him. And it just didn't materialize the way they wanted it to. And they probably just figured, hey, why rock the boat? We're winning. Since they fired their coach, they're now winning under Nate McMillan. So, you know, I understand why they're doing that. Larry Nance Jr., not much chatter around him. Cleveland's asking for a lot for him, and understandably so. Mentioned Norman Powell. You know, there could be a small, and this is kind of what I've maintained all along. I always have thought the Wolves would do something, whether it's a Josh Okogie or a Jarrett Culver or an Ed Davis, or at one point we thought maybe Ricky Rubio. Any of these guys could be traded for some combination of picks and expiring salary, but I don't think they're going to make a major move. I don't think an Aaron Gordon's coming. I don't think certainly a John Collins is coming. I don't think a Marvin Bagley's coming. Nothing like that is going to happen, I don't think, this year for the Timberwolves. If it does, we'll be all over it. I'll have an emergency pod. There's also a Lockdown Live trade deadline show for a good chunk of the day on Thursday. So check that out over at all the Lockdown Live feeds. And if the Wolves do anything, I'll pop over there and I'll be part of that. We'll do a Lockdown Now video on social. So all that stuff will happen if something goes down. I just wouldn't get my hopes up if I were you about the Wolves making a significant deal on Thursday. I just don't think they have the right combination of assets to make that happen. Okay, next what I want to do is cover Wolves Mavs. We'll do a quick game flow, just kind of how the game went, which basically, spoiler, the Wolves dominated the first, like, I don't know, 5 minutes of the game, and then after that it was all Mavs. So we'll do a quick game flow. We'll look at key takeaways, which will be the meat of the rest of the show, and then also individual studs and duds. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our brand new friends at Sport Trade. Have you heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. Let's also talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball is only about a week away. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props and almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, the website or your mobile device, you can sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, before we get to Wolves Mavs, I do want to remind everybody about Locked On Today, which is the fantastic daily podcast. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with Locked On Today. The host is Peter Bukowski. He'll update you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, so Wolves Mavs. Minnesota ended up losing this game by 20. They were winning 16-3. The Timberwolves got off to a hot start. Anthony Edwards had a couple of buckets. Towns hit a three-pointer. Rubio opened the scoring with a three. And the Wolves are up 16-3. The rest of the first quarter was really ugly. The Mavs had a ton of turnovers, sloppy play, and the Wolves just couldn't convert. The Mavs missed a ton of shots in the paint. Luka Doncic was scoreless until the final 2 minutes of the first half. And the Wolves were kind of, you know, waffling back and forth between slight lead, slightly behind. They were up seven at one point in the second quarter after losing their lead. They got it back. And it just was a really sloppy start to the game. And the Mavs were not into things early. We were just kind of kicking the ball around. The Wolves had a chance to build a lead. They did it. And then they let it all come back and never really felt, even though it was a one-point game at halftime, the writing was kind of on the wall about midway through that second quarter when the Mavs made that an error, I guess more later in the second quarter. Karl Anthony Towns was really good in the first half. He had some issues again with kind of rushing some of his post moves, trying to avoid the double. And sometimes, despite the fact he was hitting his threes in this game and he's been making, I mean, he's all, even when he was slumping, he was still an above average 3-point shooter. But there was some weird hesitation, kind of like, you know, I'm going to fake a three and then I'm going to take two dribbles in and then I'm going to fake a step back and then I'm going to pass it or whatever. You know, just a little too much overthinking for Kat. And obviously feeling the weight of carrying the entire offense on his shoulders when Anthony Edwards has struggled the last few games and no Malik Beasley and no D'Angelo Russell. So on some level, I get that. And he was still very good in this game. But that was part of the issue early in this game offensively. And then up until midway through the third quarter, the Wolves were in this thing and they played strong defense. They actually, early in the third quarter, were competing defensively. I even tweeted something out about how Karl Anthony Towns was defending, you know, with urgency. He was getting out and contesting shots on the perimeter. He had some nice, in under control closeouts on the perimeter. He was contesting mid-range shots. He wasn't getting beaten pick and roll game. And then things just suddenly fell apart. And I don't know what the catalyst was for that, but there just wasn't effort by the Wolves defensively. It was like right in the middle of the third quarter, they just kind of stopped rotating. The Mavs got a bunch of free, open, wide open threes and dunks and layups and alley-oops. And just, it was really weird. And then on offense, there's just no spacing. It was, you know, Towns had the ball on the post and you'd have two guys cutting at the same time. You'd have somebody in the near, in the strong side corner, right outside where Towns is trying to operate in the post. Just bad spacing, no flow offensively. Chris Finch called a couple of timeouts, tried to straighten things out, couldn't find the right combination of guys. You had Jared Vanderbilt and Jaden McDaniels both in foul trouble early in the second half. And then also the end of quarter play. We talked about this all season, but I think the end of all three, the first three quarters, the Wolves gave up buckets on the Mavs' final possession and turned the ball over themselves on their final possession at least once in this game. Just the inability to close out quarters is just so demoralizing. It really is. And again, this is something that's, well, I guess technically we could measure it, but it's very much a momentum thing. If you turn the ball over and give up basically a 2-for-1 to the other team in the final 45 seconds of every quarter, which feels like is what's happening. Um, it, you know, it gets to you as a team. It has to. So the Wolves were down 15 heading into the fourth quarter. It didn't actually feel that close because of how badly they played over the final probably 5 or 6 minutes of the third. And the game was basically over. The Wolves ended up being a minus five in the fourth anyway. And, you know, it just was ugly. I mean, the effort was the biggest issue. So in terms of key takeaways from this game, I'll give a couple here. One was obviously that the defense I just cited in the third quarter, it was like they just suddenly decided to stop trying, especially on defense. So that was number one for me. It was very weird. Secondly, Anthony Edwards didn't score a point in the second or third quarter. He had, I think, 11 in the first quarter. He had plenty of stats in the fourth quarter, but he didn't score at all in the middle stages of the game. Just tons of empty stats late in the game. He shot a ton of threes in the first half and made his first two shots in the paint. He was 2 of 2 in the paint in the first half, right at the rim, 2 of 2. But he was like 2 of 7 on threes in the first half. He just couldn't stop chucking threes and finished the game 3 of 12 from three. 12 of his 22 shot attempts were three-pointers. He missed. He was 6 of 10 on twos. He was 3 of 12 on threes. He did attempt 9 free throws in the game. And so he did, you know, eventually, as the game wore on, get to the free throw line a little bit more often. But the shot selection again for him was just not good. And he got discouraged. Clearly, he had a couple of unsuccessful drives in the second half, more than a couple. He had a couple of shot blocks in the paint, he got his shot blocked in the paint a couple of times. And it's weird to see Anthony Edwards seemingly lose confidence, but that's what happened. And we saw this the last time out for the Wolves too, when he wasn't getting foul calls. He just kind of powered down at times where it was like, I guess I'll just shoot a three, or, you know, I'll go to the rim, but I'm not going to go hard because I'm just going to get fouled and they're not going to call it. And I think we saw a little bit of that in this game from Ant, which was disappointing. And we'll talk in studs and duds about his shooting performance, but he was 9 of 22, which is, you know, not awful, but 29 points on 22 shots isn't great. He was only saved by those free throw attempts. And actually, let's talk about it now. He's not going to fit studs or duds in this game because he was okay. It was just a pretty empty stat line. 29 points on 22 shots, 3 of 12 from 3, 8 of 9 at the line, which is great. 9 of 22 shooting. He did have 5 rebounds and 3 assists, only 1 turnover. And he had a minus 7, which in a game they lost by 20, his plus minus number wasn't all that bad. So a lot of empty stats. A big chunk of that was in the fourth quarter. I can't give him a dud because the free throws ended up giving him a decently efficient night. But I mean, the middle part of the game is when this thing was lost. It was the second and third quarter when the Wolves couldn't get anything going offensively. The defense imploded in the third quarter, and Edwards was on the court for a lot of it and didn't score a single point. So that's an issue. And when he's leaned on to be the second best player on the court with no Beasley and no Russell, and the primary, you know, one of the primary perimeter defenders with no Josh Okogie, who missed this game due to health and safety protocols, apparently a possible COVID-19 exposure, not a test, but from what was reported on the broadcast, the Wolves broadcast, was a possible exposure to COVID-19. So he didn't play in this game. No idea what his status is for the weekend. But I mean, if Edwards is supposed to be your second best player on the court, he's got to do more than 29 points on 22 shots and shoddy defense and inconsistent defense and just launching threes just because. And, you know, that we didn't get that out of him in this game. Final takeaway is rebounding. Once again, the Wolves were out-rebounded. Alan Horton, the fantastic radio voice of the Timberwolves, tweeted out that the Wolves have been out-rebounded. Let me pull up the exact tweet to make sure I get this right. But the moral of the story is they got out-rebounded once again. Let's see. Alan Horton tweeted out, the Wolves have been out-rebounded in 14 of their last 16 games. That's incredible. 14 of their last 16. The Mavs were a plus 15 on the glass tonight, he also tweeted. So the Wolves lose the rebounding battle by 15. They lose the game by 20. The Mavs had 14 offensive rebounds. The Wolves only had 6 offensive rebounds. Second chance points. By the time the game was put away, the Mavs already had 20 second chance points in this game. And I mean, yeah, they play a pretty big lineup. Kristaps Porzingis, Maxi Kleber, those, you know, it's a big lineup. Dwight Powell's a good rebounder off the bench. But I mean, the Timberwolves like, you can't go through a game and have your leading rebounder have 6 rebounds and that be your backup center who played 14 minutes. Naz Reid, somewhat ironically, was like the Wolves' best rebounder by rate in this game. They had 4 starters with 5 rebounds. Towns, Vanderbilt, McDaniels, and Edwards all had 5 rebounds in this game. And the only guy with more than 5 was Naz Reid, had 6. Juancho came off the bench and had 5 rebounds too. The Wolves had 5 guys with 5 rebounds, 1 guy with 6 rebounds, 3 with 2 rebounds, and 1 with 0. It's not going to get it done. The crazy thing is that the Wolves have gotten away from playing the really small lineups. I mean, we're not seeing Josh, obviously we didn't see Josh Okogie at all in this game, but we're not seeing Okogie at the 4. We're not really seeing Jake Layman at the 4 at all either. We're seeing Jared Vanderbilt, we're seeing Juancho Hernan Gomez, we're seeing Jaden McDaniels at the 3 sometimes. So the Wolves are playing bigger lineups, but they're also playing guys who don't have impressive rebounding rates. McDaniels is included in that conversation. He's got to rebound the ball better. Part of the reason why he's at the 3, he doesn't rebound the ball at the 4 very well. Towns' rebounding rate is way down lately. Edwards' rebound rate hasn't been good all year. Rubio, in terms of his career numbers as a point guard rebounding the ball, this has been a disappointing season for him there as well. So I just think it's one of those things that at some point it's effort and it's guys taking pride in that part of their game. And it's, I mean, defensive rebounding is part of defense. If you give up 12 offensive rebounds in a game, you're going to get beat. Or excuse me, 14 offensive rebounds in a game. You're definitely going to get beat if you give up 14 offensive rebounds. Defensive rebounding, as much as we like to talk about sometimes about stat padding and triple doubles not meaning as much and guys just hunting for rebounds, at the end of the day, rebound rate really matters. Defensive rebounding is a big part of defense, and the Wolves have not done that. And it catches up quickly. When you fail to get stops, or when you actually do get a stop, but then give up an offensive rebound, or if you have a team like the Mavs that are just playing volleyball and missing layups in the paint, and you can't secure a rebound and send the ball back the other way, and you're letting them get 3-4 attempts at the rim, that's going to catch up to you really quickly, and it did in this game. Okay, I want to talk about individual studs and duds next. Before we do that, though, we have to talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they're the exact same for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Hey, I've been talking about Built Bar now for well over a year. It is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and it has been since I've started talking about it. Not only that, it's even better than it was a year ago. They've improved the formula. They're delicious. I honestly can't go a day without eating at least one Built Bar. It's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar. Tastes exactly like a candy bar, no exaggeration, with 100% chocolate on all bars. I tried birthday cake today for the first time. Amazing. Amazing. Covered in white chocolate, has sprinkles on it. It's 100% chocolate and it's good for you. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. We're in the middle of Built Bar madness. And speaking of birthday cake is part of the Enticing Eight. The voting on Wednesday was cookies and cream versus coconut almond in the first round of the Enticing Eight. I believe the matchup for Thursday is mint brownie versus coconut puff, which again, both delicious flavors. And then it'll be cookie dough chunk against birthday cake, which will be really interesting. The final matchup of the Enticing Eight is caramel brownie against coconut brownie chunk, which is my number one favorite, is the coconut brownie chunk. Birthday cake's probably top 5 for me, though. It was amazing. Again, it tasted literally exactly like a candy bar. No exaggeration at all. You can go to builtbar.com to check out the bracket, or at bar_built on Twitter. You can use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. You can check back to see who won today's matchup in the Enticing Eight and also who will become the best tasting protein bar. Also, March Madness games are about to start back up in the college basketball world. You can get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the new Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into studs and duds. This is, I guess it's not that easy for this game because the whole team really just didn't play well. But I'll try and name a couple studs here first, and then we'll call out some guys who just didn't have good performances. Karl-Anthony Towns has to be number one. He wasn't great, but he was fine. He had 22 points, 6 assists, only 5 rebounds in this game. No blocks or steals. He did have 2 turnovers. 8 of 20 shooting, which is okay. 4 of 9 outside the arc, very good. 2-2 at the free throw line. Only attempted the 2 free throws, but only played 34 minutes in this game. It got out of hand fairly early in the fourth quarter. And, the 22-6-5 isn't the best night from Cat. He should have shot more than 4 threes in this game. He still attempted 11 twos, was 4 of 11 on twos, and only attempted 2 free throws. So the free throw rate has been down a little bit for Towns this year. Part of that, again, is the officiating. It's crazy, though, because he's playing in the post more often than he did the past couple of seasons. And he's getting doubled more often, and he's shooting, generally speaking, literally, he's shooting less threes than we're used to seeing over the past couple of seasons. His 3-point attempts per game are down, and his same thing with his 3-point rate. It's down at least from last year, I guess still higher than it was a couple of years ago, but the free throw rate is weirdly low for him, and it's the lowest it's been since his second season in the league, back when he was 21 in the 16-17 season. So, he's got to get to the free throw line more often, and part of that's the officiating, and part of it is I guess, the way he's attacking at the rim. It's weird. He plays in the post enough, you'd think he'd get more calls, but that we just haven't seen that. Second stud for me in this game is Jalen Noel, 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting in 25 minutes, 4 assists, only 1 turnover, 2 rebounds off the bench, and he continues to play well. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how he plays when there's another point guard back, and apparently Jordan McLaughlin is available to play in this game after missing every game, the last 7 since the All-Star break due to health and safety protocols, but he did not see the court. So we'll see if McLaughlin gets on the floor at all here this weekend against Houston. But Noel continues to play well. We talked about him quite a bit on Wednesday's show. If you missed Wednesday's show, I spent the entire middle segment talking about Noel's different play types and how successful he's been in the pick and roll. He's scored more points per possession in the pick and roll as the ball handler than Steph Curry, more than Kawhi Leonard this year, slightly, but still a better mark in those play types. And he's been very good in dribble handoff action. And we saw that tonight. I mean, he had a couple of nice assists to Towns of his 4 assists in pick and roll game and had a really good game. Thirdly, we'll go with Juancho Hernangómez, 17 points, 5 rebounds. He did score a bit in garbage time. One of his threes was when the game was already out of reach. He did have a three that should have counted on an away from the ball foul that they called with him in his shooting motion, but the referees messed that up. And he only had the 17 and 5, 5 of 9 shooting, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. He actually attempted 7 free throws too. I mean, I don't even feel like I need to look this up. I probably could just say this and be right, that Juancho's never scored 17 points on 9 or fewer shots before. And that's what happened in this game because of his 5 of 7 at the line and his 2 3-pointers. But a good game from Juancho. One of the other things I mentioned on Wednesday's show was that Towns and Juancho, Juancho is actually Towns' best two-man pairing, according to NBA.com's advanced stats, in relatively limited minutes. In this game, that didn't necessarily bear itself out because of the issues the Wolves were having defensively, and Juancho continues to be a bit of an issue on defense. But still, he was good enough offensively, and the Wolves were bad enough as a team that he gets the third stud award in this game. Okay, duds. Ricky Rubio did not have a good game. 3 points, 7 assists, 3 turnovers to the 7 assists, 1 of 7 shooting, 1 of 5 outside the arc. He's had a little bit of a backslide the past couple of games from shooting from deep, only 2 rebounds in this game. And as I mentioned, the three turnovers to only 7 assists in 31 minutes. So not a good performance from Rubio. I would still be very surprised if he's traded on Thursday. I think the relationship he has with Anthony Edwards, the Wolves' relative lack of depth suddenly at point guard with Russell out and with McLaughlin having not played in like 3 weeks now, including the All-Star break and the health and safety protocols. No Ashton Haggins. Remember, he was released from his waived from his two-way deal several weeks ago. You know, there's a lack of depth. Rubio brings that leadership. He's played better of late. He's under contract for one more year at $17 million, so they can trade him this summer and still likely get an asset for him. So I think they'll keep Rubio. So I don't think we need to worry about this being his last game in a Wolves uniform. And you know, but if it was, it wasn't good. 3 points, 7 assists, 3 turnovers, 1 of 7 shooting. Not great. Another dud for me in this game, Jarrett Culver only played 8 minutes. And with no Josh Okogie, you had to hope that Culver could do something offensively to stay on the court and provide some help defensively. He couldn't do that. He had a bad stint in the first half and didn't see the court again. I think until garbage time, he only had 1 point in the game, 0 of 2 shooting from the field and no other counting stats. Once again, you look at Jarrett Culver's game log and it's not great. I mean, the last two games, including this one, he's played 8 minutes in each of the last two games, both times really just playing in the first half. He's combined, this is 16 minutes over two games, 0 of 3 shooting from the field, missed his only 3-point attempt, 1 rebound, no other counting stats. So 16 minutes, 1 point, 1 rebound, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals, 0 of 3 shooting, 0 of 1 outside the arc, 1 of 2 at the free throw line. That's Jarrett Culver over the past two games. Go ahead and throw the game before that in there, and he still only has 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal over the past three games. Just not doing anything other than missing shots from the field and you know, doing his thing defensively, which is sometimes okay, but it's so bad on offense that he's not playable. He is probably, in my mind, him and Okogie are still the two most likely players to be traded on Thursday, but neither one of them did the Wolves any favors with Culver playing 8 poor minutes each of the last two times out. Okogie playing better lately, but now out with health and safety protocol concerns. So we'll see if either of them's traded. At this moment, I'm on the side of, I think it's more likely than not that nothing happens for the Wolves on Thursday. But knowing Gerson Rosas, it's entirely possible that they do a, you know, an Okogie for a pair of second rounders or an Okogie for, or an Ed Davis for a second rounder or something like that on Thursday. So stay tuned just in case. As mentioned earlier, I will do an emergency pod if the Wolves do really any sort of a deal. If it's something like what I just mentioned, then it'll be a pretty short podcast, but I'll try and get something up. And with an analysis of that, we'll do a Lockdown Live video to put out on Twitter. And then also, if there's anything of consequence, I'll be on Lockdown Live at some point on Thursday as well. So be sure, even if the Wolves don't do anything, check out Lockdown Live. There's plenty of great hosts that'll be on there. I know Jackson Gatlin from Lockdown Rockets, Nick Engstad from Lockdown Mavs, John Corrales, Lockdown Celtics, and a couple other people. And now I feel bad that I only remembered three of them off the top of my head. But check out Lockdown Live. And then also any teams that make moves, those hosts, those local experts are going to pop into the show. So it'll be the best coverage you can get of the trade deadline as we move through Thursday. So stay tuned to all of the Lockdown channels. Stay tuned to our feed as well here at Lockdown Wolves, as I'll definitely get something up if anything happens. Otherwise, that's all I have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to Lockdown Wolves, of course, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. And if you're so inclined, please help us out with a positive review on Apple. That definitely helps us get in front of more folks' eyes and ears. A reminder that today's episode was brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk sports. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Enjoy the trade deadline.